And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight. And coming up later on at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the Miami Dolphins as we visit in with the Bills' cousins in the AFC East. We've done the Patriots last night, the Jets last week. And tonight, Chris Perkins from South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us to update us on the Dolphins and their draft. But just yesterday, last night, the two-day NFL spring owners meetings wrapped up in Atlanta, Georgia, and covering those meetings for his newspaper, the Toronto Sun, is John Crick, who covers the Buffalo Bills and the NFL for the Toronto Sun. He's live on the line with us from Toronto. John, just back from Atlanta. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We appreciate you taking the time.
Always happy to join you, Murph. Thanks.
Hey, a lot going on there, and as far as the Buffalo Bills were concerned, nothing formal, which I guess was expected, but it seemed like you and several others were able to take the temperature of several NFL owners about the Bills and their future in Buffalo. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, it was. Adam Bonini and Tim Graham of the news, the three of us were on lobby duty, which is always fun. You know, you just feel so good, you know, stalking owners for hours and hours, getting dismissive looks from hotel people.
I've done it.
You're, like,
I've been
there. In the hallway hanging on the wainscoting. But, you know, that's what we do, try to get some information. And between us all, we got some good stuff, I think.
Is it your sense, John, and I want to get into what was said, but is it your sense that the future of the Bills is something that's on the minds of these other owners? I mean, they had other things on their agenda, and the Bills weren't really on a formal agenda, but is this something they think about, care about, talk about, do you think?
You know what? I asked that of John Mara, the New York Giants co-owner, the president and CEO, and one of the biggest wheels in the NFL, really. I had a chance to talk to him alone briefly, and he said that, I said, is this something the owners are talking about? Not really. It's not to that point yet. And one indication where, as a prominent sports franchise consultant has told me, he said it's probably, he advised me a while ago that it's probably not on the particulars are not on the owner's minds right now, as far as especially pertaining to the lease. And I asked, you know, we know all about that now, obviously the prohibitive lease and the restrictive lease and the non-relocation agreement. But I asked Mayor about it, and, you know, I said, you know, why would the NFL approve an ownership group from Toronto that would necessitate five lame duck years at the Ralph for that team before they moved it at the first out clause, which is in February 2020. And he's like, well, you know, I'm not really that aware of those particular details of the lease. He goes, others would be. So right there, you get a sense that, you know, this guy's as plugged in as anybody in the NFL among the owners. And even he's not quite into that stage yet of trying to digest all the really intricate matters that surround this sale.
Yeah. Hey, John, for years here in Buffalo and Western New York, people worried that once Mr. Wilson had passed, that there were some owners, certain owners, and maybe more than a couple, who would be interested in moving the franchise to a bigger market to maximize revenues, that it would somehow help their revenues to be in a Los Angeles or a Toronto. I don't detect anybody saying that, at least, and maybe not even feeling that. Did you?
A little bit from Jerry Jones.
Right,
he was asked a little bit about that, and he would always kind of couch it. And one breath he would say, you know, I had immense respect for Ralph Wilson. He said, I'm paraphrasing him now, but he said, you know, he had immense respect for him as an owner, and he even viewed him as a founder of the NFL, even though, you know, he founded the franchise, of course, when it was in the AFL, we all know. But he then would talk a little bit about the Toronto market and saying, you know, well, you know, it's, you know, you want to grow the pie, I think was his term, for revenues for the whole league, not just the team. So, you know, for some owners, I'm sure Toronto, I mean, as we've talked about before, after New York and Los Angeles, and some ways that you can calculate population, Toronto's now the third largest market in North America. And of course, after Los Angeles, it's by anybody's count the largest market in North America without an NFL team. So I could see why, some of the NFL owners who have dollar signs for eyeballs, you know, they would want to try to move a team there eventually, perhaps. But then, of course, as I have been writing now for about a month, and, it's not a secret that this, it's no longer a secret that the NFL, that this non-relocation agreement and lease is prohibitive, and as I keep writing, I don't see a way. Even though I'm in Toronto, and people say, "Well, why are you writing this? You're in Toronto." You know, I've got some Toronto people saying, "Why are you saying it? So you're saying it's unlikely the team will move?" Well, it's because I can't get my head around the fact, and I have not heard anybody give me, even among a couple owners that I talked to, give me a reason why the NFL would approve a group they suspect would want to move the team to Toronto. When that would mean 5 years, not three games like in Cleveland Browns in 1995, but 5 years of lame duck status. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's that lame duck status that seems to be the hurdle as far as Toronto and the Buffalo Bills. And and in many respects, John, and Russ Brandon talks about this a lot, talked about it today on WGR Radio. It's almost like this is the way Mr. Wilson planned it, like an ordered, methodical way to transfer the franchise, to have a almost a grace period for the franchise to remain in Buffalo while the ownership situation is settled. It almost seems like this was the design all along for Ralph Wilson.
Well, remember that story that I wrote in late March, the day after he died, that Mark Gannis, that prominent sports consultant who's been widely quoted now, he said that this was Ralph Wilson's last great gift to the people of Buffalo. And he said it was no coincidence that that is what ended up going in there. Now, I've since found out that they had to fight tooth and nail, the state and the county, to get not just the Bills but the NFL to agree to that very restrictive clause and non-relocation agreement, or sorry, lease and non-relocation agreement. But that could be. One person described it to me as, you know, because nobody really knows what's exactly what directions might be in his actual will as far as the future of the franchise. But one person described to me in Atlanta is he didn't need to because of that lease and non-relocation agreement. That pretty much has served the purpose.
We're on the line with John Crick. He covers the NFL for the Toronto Sun. He was at the NFL owners meetings, the spring meetings in Atlanta. We're going to get to some of the other issues, but let's keep continuing talking about the Bills' future, and especially as it relates to Toronto, John. And what's the status of the current ownership candidates in Toronto? Is it there were talk of two competing groups. Is that still in play in Toronto?
Well, I'm pretty close to it, and I don't know that there's more than one. If there is definitely more than one, then that's being kept extremely quiet. And the wild card, I've not written about it much, but the wild card, and I have said this, is Edward Rogers III,
right,
who is the heir and the chairman of Rogers Communications, which oversees everything, not just Rogers Media. Takes care of the Rogers Center and the cable channels and the cable company, which is like Comcast, a monstrous Comcast on steroids in Canada, very prominent and powerful cable company, but also all the telecommunications and cell phones and everything else that Rogers handles. So anyway, Edward, whether he would want to join the Larry Tannenbaum, John Bon Jovi group, or bid on his own, I just don't know if there's anybody out there that knows that. Maybe he doesn't even. It's possible he might. It's possible if he does that he would keep the team in Buffalo if he bid on it and won it. That is just not known. So if there is a second bid group out of Toronto, I don't know who's in it.
The Larry Tannenbaum group is the primary group. And has that group or any, have there been any reports of what they think about the non-relocation agreement and how to get around the lame duck period that you've reported about, John?
No, there isn't. I don't know that there is a way around it.
Right.
the sports experts, plural, that I've talked with, who have done some really big deals, don't believe that there is. And in fact, as one, which was I know was a controversial story down there a couple of weeks ago, but I stand by the story because the sports consultant I sourced on that story stands by it, which is that he's not even sure a team could come out and announce an eventual intention even to relocate the team, that he thinks that might, as I wrote, could be that he could get a lawsuit slapped on him so fast by either the county or the state. And I know that Mark Poloncarz, the Erie County chief executive, came out and said that that wasn't the case, that after 2020, a team could express an intention to move the team after 2020. But the source that I spoke with isn't so sure. I mean, it's all legal interpretations, but his advice, he told me, if he was hired by the Toronto Big Group, would be to don't say anything and don't express any intentions to relocate the team until after the expiry of the entire 10-year lease, which would be after the 2022 season.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But it'd be hard. I mean, as soon as if that group were to attain ownership of the Buffalo Bills, then everybody knows that that's the plan, or at least everybody would assume that, right?
Well, that's it. You know, how do you put the genie back in the bottle?
Right.
And, you know, to their credit, Larry Tannenbaum has not said a word publicly about this at any point in time, even going back to last fall when that first John Bon Jovi story broke. The only person that said anything publicly was in one interview with the Toronto Star, Tim Lywicki, one of the chiefs of the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Empire, said that, yes, I'm close with, I'm paraphrasing, he's close friends with John Bon Jovi. They talk every week about their NFL aspirations. And confirmed that, and confirmed what we know now to be true, or at least is the intention to bid. Nobody's bid yet because it's not officially on sale yet. But nothing. But and John Bon Jovi has not come out and said he's going to bid on the Bills. I had that story last month in which his publicist said that he is still very eager, whatever the words he used, to pursue in his pursuit of an NFL. In pursuit of NFL ownership, but mentioned nothing with regard to the Toronto bid. So they could come out, I suppose, and say, hey, we've never said we're going to relocate the team to Toronto. Those have only been in reports.
Yeah.
Well, I have sources that tell me that that's exactly the intention, and that's why I report it that way. One other thing I can tell you is I know this is not exactly a bombshell of news in Western New York and will come as no surprise, but I was told this evening that Thomas Golisano, the former Buffalo Sabres owner, indeed plans to bid on the Bills once the team goes on sale, and that he will either act alone or in partnership with a local businessman. And either way, he intends to be the lead bidder, and that once it goes on sale, which is supposed to be within 30 days, that the investment bank and the law firm will officially start accepting and soliciting bids, that when that happens, that he'll be seeking NFL pre-approval.
That's pretty interesting. One more thing from the Toronto perspective, John, and the Bills are on the front burner now because, as you say, they're weeks, if not a month away from officially being on the market, but is the Tannenbaum Group or anybody, from what you know, would they look elsewhere? I mean, there are stadium issues and lease issues in places like St. Louis and San Diego and Jacksonville. I mean, are they at that point where they would look elsewhere?
I would expect so. I mean, this is not John Bon Jovi's first attempt to try to become an NFL owner. Ted Rogers, who's now passed on, Edwards' father, he was very publicly involved with trying to land one of those expansion teams in the 90s that eventually went to, I think, Carolina and Jacksonville. And perhaps, I think there might have been a couple of relocations in there where they tried to get a team to move up. Once, even when Indianapolis was, if I recall correctly from my associate sports editor days, when Indianapolis was on the rocks a bit before the Peyton Manning years, when there was uncertainty there that perhaps they might be willing to relocate. So to answer your question, if nothing happens with the Bills, I would think yes. But then, would the NFL put a team in Toronto if the Bills remain in Buffalo? That is uncertain because right now the Bills rely on Ontario by, I think it's 18%. Press Brandon told me earlier this year, 18% of all the bums in the seats at Ralph are crossing one of the three bridges there to get over. So for each game, for each home game. So I'm not sure the NFL would look at that as something that they would want to do. I asked that very question of Roger Goodell at the annual meeting in late March, and he said that's not something the league has looked at closely, but that, you know, his intention would be to continue to have people from Southern Ontario support the Bills.
One more question about the Bills and Toronto, John. Is anybody bemoaning the fact of the one-year suspension, I guess, of the Bills in Toronto series? And does that play into any of this at all, the fact that that series was not, real popular among the fans in Toronto?
No, I'll find Waldo on my kids' books long before I find one person that laments that.
Yeah.
And I always give up real early. It hurts my eyes.
We're on the line with John Crick. He covers the NFL for the Toronto Sun. He was at the owners' meetings. The owners managed to award a Super Bowl, but they didn't do anything about playoff expansion, John. I don't know how deeply you got into that, but that seems like it's fairly inevitable that the playoffs will expand after the 2015 season, correct?
It seems so, yeah. Before they announced that, you know, it's something that Goodell had said very much that he is in favor of and thinks a lot of the owners are. I think he said that at the annual meeting. But there's issues there with the NFLPA, and it seems to be some disagreement. Jerry Jones suggested on Monday that the league does not require approval by the players' union to proceed in that way. But I think the league wisely, I think they cited the fact that, well, we're starting a whole new Thursday night initiative. Well, not really. It's just going to be airing on different networks. But they're starting this new Thursday night initiative, and maybe they shouldn't, add playoff games in the same year. I think that was just a clumsy way for them to say that, this isn't the time to go ahead and approve it. And it was highly unlikely, reports had said for a couple of months, that it would even begin this season. So they can still easily approve it in time by even as late as next year's spring meeting, wherever that will be held, next May. They could still approve it in May 2015 in time for the postseason of 2015. So I don't think there's any rush on it now. John Mara told me just before this all kind of broke out that there would not be a vote yesterday, nor was he sure there would be one even in the fall. So, yeah. But even if that comes to pass, don't panic. I mean, it still is likely to come. He lamented in that, because he's not in favor of it, but he realizes, and he told a Packer reporter shortly after that, that is definitely the wish of the majority of the owners, and it's probably almost certain to pass when it ever come to a vote.
I love what I've read about how they might tie that in with the reduction of the preseason to just 3 preseason games per team. I would welcome that, right? That'd be great.
Well, if you really want to make the fans happy, kill some of the preseason games. I mean, not just for the ticket buyers, but just for everybody in general. There is nothing as useless on the sports counter as calendar as prominent as the NFL is on both sides of our border. There is nothing as superfluous as an NFL preseason game, especially that last one.
What did you make of the awarding of the Super Bowl 52, to Minneapolis? I guess the NFL follows its longstanding tradition of build a stadium, get a Super Bowl, right?
Well, that's it. I mean, when you can beat New Orleans out of a Super Bowl, it had been 10 for 10 in all its bids.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can beat New Orleans out of a Super Bowl, what's the big reason? The big reason is what you just said. Build a stadium, get a Super Bowl.
I guess New Orleans, to me, that was also maybe a slap back at New Orleans for the debacle of the lights going out the last Super Bowl. Do you agree?
No, I don't.
Really?
I don't think that had anything to do with it. I mean, they're going to have, even if they just approved it next year or 2 years later, they'd still have 2 years to, run some wire. I think they could, somewhere in America, they could uncoil and get enough generators on barges even going up the Mississippi to make that sucker work with backups. I don't think that was the issue at all. I really don't. It might have been the case, but I don't think so. I think it was, because it was pretty much New Orleans' turn, right? If you've had 10 Super Bowls in 50 years, then you're getting it every 5 years, right? So it would have been their almost natural turn in the progression anyhow. But Minnesota not only got a new stadium, but they forced the governments to kick in like $500 million to build that stadium. I think it's exactly what it was. So that's the way they not only reward, I think it's kind of termed by the league that, we're rewarding the teams for getting it. I guess that's kind of true. They're rewarding the teams for strong-arming the local governments to kick in all that money, and that's the reward because, of course, they reap in so much by way of, tourism for that week and a half surrounding the Super Bowl.
And just back for a second to wrap things up to the push for NFL in Toronto, John, is there a sense there? I know you do this for a living, and this is why you're at the meetings, but is there a sense that this is the time, that the opportunity is there with the sale of the Bills, even with all the complications that you talked about for non-relocation? Is there a sense that this is the time that something has to happen?
Well, I think there's still – when the Bills in the Toronto series, Bills in Toronto series started, I think it really gave a lot of people here, for whatever reason, this – not just in anticipation, just the expectation that, okay, this is the first step, the Bills are coming here. And of course, there's a lot of Bills fans that began worrying about that instantaneously. But my sense is that there's still a lot of people that think it's going to happen. And that's part of the reason why I'm writing these stories as emphatically as I am, to try to say, you know, cut through the almost lazy, hazy expectation fog that people think that they're going to get the team here. Even at our own Toronto Sun website, I think it was yesterday, where we had a poll, do you think John Bon Jovi is going to get the team? And well over half said yes. So, I mean, it's just, I think there's people here that are just expecting that they deserve a team, and so they're, you know, maybe just not looking at the particulars that closely right now. So, I stick to what I've been writing, that I'm having a hard time seeing how it's even possible.
And let me just ask you one more question on this point. Do Toronto fans, I know there's some affinity, I mean, you know, the Leafs and the Sabres and there's all that bad blood, but do they really want to steal Buffalo's team, do you think, Toronto fans?
I don't know if it's stealing the team so much. I mean,
I guess
it would be. Yeah. I mean, maybe in their eyes. I mean, if they don't call it the Bills, I mean, does people in you know what I mean? Like the Houston Texans, were they stolen when the owner relocated them? I'm not sure if that's the right way, especially when it's a bid, right? But I don't think they look at it that way. Would Toronto, let's just say the Bills are out of the equation, that they're, you know, they're either going to be there for forever or they've relocated to L.A., what have you. Does Toronto deserve an NFL team? Yes. Would the people here support their own NFL team, unlike the way they have completely not supported the Bills and Toronto series? Yes. I tell people that, and I've told you that before those Bills and Toronto series, that it's an entirely different thing when it's your own team. And the analogy I use, which has been, I've had people in L.A. agree with me on it, is like the Chargers didn't make the playoffs for 14 years in a row, and you're trying to now have the Chargers play one home game up about an hour and a half away up in Los Angeles. Would that game sell out once a year? And I'm told absolutely not, it wouldn't. So that's the situation. If this had been the early 90s, you couldn't get a ticket to watch Jim Kelly and all those guys play at the Sky Dome then. You couldn't. It would have been the biggest draw of the year at the Sky Dome, even over the Blue Jays.
That's going to be interesting. It always is. John, thank you for spending time with us tonight. I know you've had a long week down there in Atlanta, and we appreciate you carving out some time for us tonight. Thanks.
Always appreciate you being on your show and letting me talk about it. Thanks a lot, John.